Hello, party people. It is time for another edition of the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, back in the saddle at the very tail end of the summer as we pick things back up and heat it back up for the NFL season. We'll be doing the podcast here in short bursts per show. So the idea here, once we get into the season, is to do a couple of, not long shows, a couple of relatively, I'd say maybe 10 to 15 minute shows on what happened that week, and then a couple days later, what is to come, for about 10 to 15 minutes or so. So that's the game plan going into this year. The idea, of course, being that we release new podcasts on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that should be fun. Really looking forward to that. And the usual fun and frivolity on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. You could also check us out on Twitter as well by searching Joe M's Right Arm. So we're on Vine. I am so excited for football to be back. It feels like an eternity. Now, before we get to the NFL stuff, we're going to talk a little bit about the Exit 58 podcast and a whole lot more. But I wanted to start off by discussing the events of last Sunday night, WWE holding SummerSlam in Brooklyn, New York, a part of a spectacular weekend of wrestling. And now, wrestling, and I've said it before in the previous podcast, wrestling is the new college football. It's on all the damn time. You can't miss it. Almost something's on every night now. You, when you have the WWE Network specials, you have wrestling now on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because NXT is on Wednesday, and if you're a fan of TNA, Thursday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Dude, that's a lot. And now with the big NXT specials that come into play, when you're talking about WrestleMania and you're talking about SummerSlam, you're looking at Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, TNA, Thursday. That's 6 days. So that's, my God, man, that's a lot to digest over the span of about a week. So wanted to talk about, in particular, the SummerSlam show. We'll get into the particulars with NXT in a little bit. But a couple of things here to keep in mind. We'll go over the key points of the show. But the first thing I want to talk about was this. I am a big wrestling fan. Big wrestling fan. However, I think everyone has their limit. Everybody. And to me, asking a fan to more or less sit in an arena, and they did the same thing at WrestleMania, to ask a fan to sit into an arena for, God, what, more or less 6 hours plus to watch a show? And, I mean, that is a full day. Now, look, if you're making the trek up to Brooklyn, yeah, that's a whole day event. I mean, you know, I went to WrestleMania 29 in 2013, and that was, you know, we were in the building by, like, the show starting at 7. You're in the building by like 6. You're already there at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the show goes to 11. Like that's what that day is now. Like it's a long day when you go to the super shows, the big boys, one of the big four. My problem though is like the actual amount of wrestling is just too much. I know you have a ton of people on each brand now, but look, you can't have 6 hours of wrestling. Jesus. Too long. Too long. 6 hours from 5 to 11. It's funny. I got a survey sent to me by the WWE on their fan council. And one of the first questions in the survey was, what did you think about the length of SummerSlam? Way too long, because then the fans get tired, which we're going to get to in a second, because that plays into a major, major part of this. The fans get fatigued, and they especially get fatigued when you start doing wild cowboy stuff with the card and start switching stuff around and putting stuff out of sequence. And then that really screws him up. And that's what happened on Sunday night. So just it's 6 hours is too much, dude. Too much. And I love wrestling. But damn. I mean, 6 hours is a long time. Because, you know, you're watching a two... You don't need a two-hour pre-show. Now, if you're going to do a two-hour pre-show, it can't be just a horde of matches during that two-hour pre-show. I mean, this is... It's crazy. The WWE has the capacity to treat themselves like the NFL, like the NBA, like Major League Baseball, like the NHL with pregame shows. And that's kind of what they do. But if you do these pre-produced packages, I would rather see that any day of the week than watching random wrestlers X, Y, and Z wrestle in a tag team match or a six-person tag. It's too much. It's too much. I'll even settle for 5 hours. That extra 6 hour. Damn. I mean, it's too much. Alas, as far as the card goes, I thought it was a pretty good show. I know a lot of people were butthurt in Brooklyn about certain issues, which we'll get to in a second. But you could tell right away that the WWE, I think their thought process is this. SummerSlam is for the heels, and then WrestleMania is for the faces. And by that, I mean, you see a lot of situations where heels are going over, and they're getting the wins. And then from there, you move on to what's going to happen in WrestleMania season, and that's when the faces go over. Because I think a lot of people were counting, and I don't know what the actual count ended up being. I think it was like something like the first four or five matches, the heels won. But at these big shows, the heels have to win at some point. Anyhow, they started the show with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens defeating Enzo and Big Cass in a fun tag team match. I just like Owens and Jericho. I think they're a great tag team together. I don't know how long it's going to last. I think clearly they are going to head off into a feud of their own versus each other at some point. I don't know if there's going to be a serious idea and a serious look at making a face-heel dynamic between the two, but it's clear that's where that's headed. So you have that match, and then comes, to me, the first big curveball of the night. They had the women's match second. Now, as soon as I saw that, I smelled a rat. And there were two reasons why I thought that was weird. Number one, okay, this has been done before in the annals of wrestling history. When they either want you to forget something or they're going to do something that maybe you will not like, they will put it earlier on in the show because they don't want to lose you as the audience. And as soon as they put this out, number two, and I'll be honest with you, at the time, I was watching the show at a friend's house, and I had it on in the background. I was in the room, but I had my back turned to my iPad, and I hear the package going for the show for the women's title match, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this is maybe it's coming up later on in the show or something. And then I still have my back turned, and then I hear Charlotte's music, and I turn around, and there they go. They're walking out. I knew that was going to be a little bit of a red flag that match was two. I thought that was really weird. And then preceding that was the biggest red flag, and that's the gambling odds. So depending on what you read on wrestling websites, you can find the gambling odds for some of these matches. And a lot of people were kind of hemming and hawing going into this match because they felt like, okay, Sasha Banks won the title on Raw. Like, that's stupid. This is going to be the rematch. And then they're just going to, you know, put Sasha over again. And that, you know, whatever happens to Charlotte from there happens. I looked at the odds, and Charlotte was a relatively sizable favorite to win the match. So that's kind of weird. Because I kept looking at the odds and I kept reading the paragraph. I was like, "That, am I seeing that right? She's the favorite?" But of course, again, you're going back to the point I made earlier, stuff that fans don't want to see or will not like, and that's what this match was because of the result. And Charlotte retains the women's title. People were upset because of the botches going on earlier in the match. I almost think that corner spot where Charlotte dropped Sasha Banks was actually a planned botch. I know that sounds weird. It was so awful that it made no sense for that to be a botch. She just drops her. I don't even know what the hell that move was. She just dropped her, and then her head rolls back. It's bad, but, you know, and going into the finish, it was a great finish, by the way, rolling out of the bank statement into a pinning position. I love Charlotte. She can do no wrong in my eyes. She's an amazing athlete. She actually said on Monday Night Raw that she was the greatest female athlete of all time. I'll support that. Sure. Let's play the feud. I'll support it. Fantastic. But the result of this match stemming from the fact that Sasha Banks is taking some time off. Word had come out during the show that she had been removed from house shows for the next 30 days, which caused people to think, oh my God, she's been popped for some sort of wellness violation, which, you know, it's interesting. I read somewhere that there at some point was going to be another series of suspensions coming out of the wellness policy stuff. So we'll see. Now, she's injured from what everybody's saying, and it makes sense. She's been pretty low-key and low-profile on social media over the last week, but an unfortunate situation for her to deal with these injuries and things like that. And you hope that wrestlers like her, who are smaller, like Finn Balor, who's smaller, they just work a safer style. There's too many injuries that they're dealing with right now in the WWE. Now, obviously, it's nowhere near the rash of injuries they had to deal with heading into WrestleMania last year, but it's just the style they're working, man. It's just not, and I'm not a wrestler, but it just doesn't look safe. It doesn't look like that's going to be something that you can do long term. So I hope they get themselves straightened out. And the cool part about the women's match was eventually that led to Bayley coming up on Monday night. I think she was probably coming up anyways, just based off of how they handled things on Saturday night at NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. So her arrival was inevitable, and now it looks like we're headed towards some sort of Charlotte Bayley program. The word on the street was that, at least for right now, the plan going into Mania of next year was for Bayley to take on Sasha Banks for the title at Mania. Now, I don't know who the champ would be. You would think, at least I would think, you try to put it back on Sasha at some point and then go from there and see what happens. So, I thought the match was good outside of the botches. I thought it was an entertaining match. I loved the psychology of the match. I thought it was pretty good. I love how now a lot of their matches are just more intelligently put together and worked than the guys. I think that's fantastic. As far as other portions of the show go, I mean, I wasn't a super, super big fan of the rest of the show. The Charlotte Sasha Banks match was my favorite, but much respect to John Cena and AJ Styles. That, you know, I said the Charlotte Sasha Banks match was my favorite, but the Styles Cena match, I mean, that was probably the best match of the night. It's a match of the year candidate, and, you know, hey, people have been ragging on John Cena for a long time. The guy can go. I mean, he's fantastic. One of the all-time greats. And, you know, when you talk about the Mount Rushmore of a WWE, he might have to be on it. To me, if you're doing a Mount Rushmore of WWE figures of all time, Hogan, Austin, Cena, and The Undertaker. Those are the four guys. Now, The Rock, The Rock didn't do it long enough to me. Now, neither did Austin, to be honest with you, but and Rock maybe did it a little bit longer than Austin in a way. Man, I just don't... I don't see The Rock that way. I just think he's a guy who gets a huge pop when he comes out and he reemerges, but Rock is like... He's like the junk food of wrestlers. Like, the more you have of him, it's just bad for you. At least I think. He's a great promo, all that stuff, but not my cup of tea over repeated long basis. When they were doing the Rock Cena stuff, I mean, we had seen that main event for 2 years in a row, and it just it got stale with the promos. So I that would be my Mount Rushmore, and Cena has to be a part of it. The guy has earned his stripes over and over again. And he has very good matches with just about everybody he works with. So, tip of the cap to John Cena. Elsewhere on the card, look, somebody's got to tell these Brooklyn fans to shut the hell up. Straighten up. You know, poor Finn Balor and Seth Rollins are out there trying to have a match, and people are ragging on the title belt because it's red. Like, do you really care? Like, do you really care that much that the title's red? I mean, okay, they use the same belt. It's branding. That's what businesses do. They brand their business. It's just so dumb to have these arguments over, I don't like the belt. Shut up. You should give thanks that you're in the building. How about that? I mean, God, I was on Twitter, I made fun of the belt too. The belt is kind of funny looking with that red strap. But for people to boo and chant things during the Finn Balor Seth Rollins match, like, get a life. Just get a life. It's a championship belt, for heaven's sake. This is why we are having an issue right now in our presidential election. Because we put people in an arena. And the thing they get angriest about is what a championship belt looks like. I mean, it's just stupid. Just stupid. Anyways, the Balor-Rollins match, I enjoyed it, but it just didn't have the heat. I think a lot of matches in the second half of the show lacked the heat because basically Cena and Styles sucked the air out of the building pretty much after that match was over. The stuff the rest of the way just did not have a lot of steam to it. Another quick thing, Jon Stewart. I don't know if Jon Stewart has pictures on somebody, but it's time. He has to go. I mean, this is stupid. Why is he involved in these angles? Jon Stewart is funny in a political realm. He is not funny in the wrestling world. But they keep trotting him back out there over and over and over again. And it's nauseating. And, you know, the Bullet Club, they present a serious product on air. Okay, their characters are serious dudes, and they're basically in a comedy match. That's stupid. Like, let Jon Stewart come out and shoot an angle with somebody backstage, and that's it. Be done with it. Why have him come out and do this thing with a new day? It just looks low class. It just does. To have this guy continuously involved in wrestling angles and overacting all the time. Just cut it out. Ambrose, Ziggler, nobody cared, really. Ambrose is really weird. I mean, I saw him walking around with that stupid foam cowboy hat on SmackDown Live on Tuesday. I don't need that out of my world champ. Sorry. A world champ should not be a clown. And that's what Dean Ambrose acts like sometimes. And I think the fans kind of sense that a little bit. I've always thought, like, he's been as good and as hot with the crowd as his opponent was. So in other words, like, if his opponent's hot, then he's going to get over too. And it's just one of these deals where, you know, the promos leading into the match I thought were pretty decent, but man, I don't think people bought that match as a credible title match. And then, of course, the main event, Randy Orton getting his face bashed in by Brock Lesnar repeatedly. Oh, A lot of things going around about whether or not that was a work or a shoot. Chris Jericho and Lesnar got in a confrontation and a little dust-up scuffle about it in the locker room after SummerSlam was over. Hey, you know, Brock is a major attraction right now. That's the way it is. You know, this is going on, what, he beat The Undertaker, I guess, back in 2014 at the Superdome. So now you're going on, you know, really 2 years of this ideology that Brock Lesnar is this unbeatable force. You got to deal with it. That's what it is. What it is. I don't know, like a TKO thing. That was kind of weird. I thought that was a little bit of a cop out. Somebody's got to lose. Okay. I know that's nobody wants to take a three count. You want to protect everybody, but you know, somebody's got to lose. And having him getting his head bashed in with elbows from Brock Lesnar drawing blood, I certainly would not have done it that way, but then again, I don't have the book. So, you know, it's one of those things that I just felt like maybe there's a better way to do something like that rather than causing the major, blood loss for Randy Orton. He had staples put in his head as well as a part of the main event between Brock and Randy Orton. And then, of course, at the end of the night, the perhaps the most interesting thing that happened in that main event, besides the elbows to the dome, Shane McMahon shows up, gets an F5 from Brock Lesnar, and it looks like we're headed to something. I hope it is not a match at WrestleMania. We don't need, like, after last year, how's Shane McMahon going to top that? But doing Shane McMahon versus Brock at a Royal Rumble pay-per-view, I think that's something that is possible, and I think it's something that might happen. I think that's a legitimate situation that may pop up. So, if it does, boy, I mean, Shane McMahon is a crazy dude. Going at The Undertaker, had a match with Kurt Angle before, that was just a bloody mess. As far as literally being a bloody mess. So a lot of things to kind of take into account when watching the Brock Lesnar match. By the way, and you want to talk about conspiracy theories, I have developed this one over the last 24 hours. So we have now seen Roman Reigns and Rusev have a match on Raw that went a fairly reasonable length almost 2 weeks ago now. And then you have what took place on Sunday night, which was a non-match. I don't know if this plan changed at any point, but this is what I think is happening. I think they did not beat Roman Reigns for a reason. Because now, obviously, with the Finn Balor injury, this has changed things a bit, perhaps. But I read on, I believe, CagesideSeats.com, that the WWE is looking at giving Lesnar at some point a title shot at the Universal title. Now they're having this four-way to crown a new Universal champion next Monday night. And one of the guys involved in the match, Roman Reigns. And I think Vince is trying to set up for Mania another match between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Hopefully this time it will be with a conclusive finish. We got one at Mania 31, but it was Seth Rollins pinning Roman Reigns to win the WWE title. So that is that. Overall, I thought SummerSlam was a pretty entertaining show. Man, if you get a chance, check out NXT from last Saturday night, Back to Brooklyn. Great show. Love the Bayley-Asuka match. Love Nakamura and Samoa Joe. Thought that was a great match. And then, of course, Nakamura's entrance. Jeez, that's a boss entrance. If you get a chance, hop on YouTube and check it out. All right, it's break time on the JMRA podcast. When we come back, a little football talk. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Exit 58 podcast.
Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that.
Competitors taking part in some of the aquatic events at the Rio Olympics this month have been warned not to open their mouths to avoid catching serious illnesses from the polluted water. So now you got the Zeke, you had that super bacteria we talked about, and now you have polluted water. What a great Olympics. Health experts warned Olympic marathon swimmers, sailors, and windsurfers competing in Rio's Guanabara Bay, where a body was found floating in the lead up to the game, to be ultra careful as the waters are much more contaminated than previously thought. You think there's a freaking dead body in there?
I can't believe the Olympics committee thought this was Why? How did they approve it?
No, I don't understand it, because they're even saying there's raw sewage. So you're in there swimming around. I don't know what you're doing there. And next thing you know, you got a couple of floaters coming by.
Oh my God.
Like some doo-doo feces that are in the water. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand it. So, how is that acceptable that this is supposed to showcase, you know, the location that you are? We all know that the Olympic Committee is shady, but you know, you can't have a log flying past the guy that's got his mouth open. Like upstream, right, Jonesy?
Well, I love that dirty water.
Subscribe to the Exit 58 podcast on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Exit 58 Podcast.
Frustrated women, I mean the frustrated, have to be in by 12 o'clock. Oh, that's a shame.
So that clip you just heard from the Exit 58 podcast, Derek, Rob, and Kaz put that show together. It is a fun, fun show, an entertaining show. So I highly recommend that you download it when you get the opportunity. I do a little production for it, and I gotta say, I have a blast doing it, and it's a fun, fun show to listen to when I get a chance to, and then chop it up and try to create a product that is acceptable for them, because they are taskmasters. No, I kid. They're great folks. So a fun podcast, Exit 50A podcast. So if you get a chance, check that out. Search for it on iTunes. It's on Stitcher as well. You can find the first four episodes on SoundCloud too. So a tremendous, tremendous show. A little bit of a taste there that you just heard as a segue into talk about the NFL. Now, as we're taping this, it's early Friday morning, August the 26th. Tony Romo has been injured in Seattle with a back injury of some kind, and Dax Prescott has taken over at quarterback for the Cowboys, and his numbers during the preseason, my friend, wow, they are pretty good. I'm not going to suggest anything crazy like, you know, he needs to start, but, you know, he's 39 of 50 so far, 454 yards, 5 touchdown passes through 2 preseason games. Pretty impressive stuff from Dak Prescott. I was telling one of my friends this earlier tonight. I said, you know, Jerry Jones seems determined to die on that hill with Tony Romo. They're just going to play it out and see how it goes and take it from there. And I think that's a major mistake. I don't know if there's anything you can do about it this season, because you got to play Romo, but they have got to start getting the ball rolling on a transition process or something, because it's just ridiculous that you have a guy that's this valuable to the team in Romo who can't stay healthy. Now, they say he's okay, but obviously this is something that is going to be an issue at some point during the regular season. Other news, Tom Brady back to practice after slicing his thumb with a pair of scissors. He was trying to scrape his cleat last week when the Patriots were hosting the Chicago Bears. Shortly before Brady went out, he had a pair of scissors, tried to get something off the bottom of his shoe, scraped the shoe, cut his thumb on, I believe, his right hand, and now he will get an opportunity to play on Friday night when the Patriots head into Charlotte to take on the defending NFC champions, the Carolina Panthers. Before we head out, a couple of quick notes kind of alluded to what the schedule was going to be as far as podcasting goes for the NFL. But a couple things to quickly remind you about. Coming up next week, we are going to have AFC and NFC previews. We're going to split them up into two shows. And we'll just do a quick hit, division by division, rundown of what to expect here in the AFC and NFC for the upcoming season. And then once we get into the year, of course, we'll do it double time, Tuesdays and Thursdays, as a part of the JMRA podcast. It should be fun. So the release dates, we'll probably tape the second one on Wednesday night and release it on Thursday. So should be a good time providing you another season of the JMRA podcast. Let's give you the social media rundown before we get out of here. You can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, on Twitter, at joemsrightarm. You can find us on Facebook as well by searching Joe Montana's Right Arm. And then we're on Vine. We're out there. We're out there trying to make it happen. Also, give our friends at the Exit 50A podcast a follow, too. They're on Twitter as well at Exit 50A podcast. You can check them out on Facebook, too. And they copied me, too, and got their own Vine account. So, great guys, great product that they're putting out there together, and it's a lot of fun. That'll do it for this week on the JMRA podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you next week. Have a good one, everybody. Happy football.